Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Our text for meditation today comes from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son, listen to him. Probably at some point of your life, you've had this specific moment when all of your feelings were overwhelmed with joy and your deepest desires seemed to be fulfilled. Maybe it was when you made the team back in high school, or maybe it was graduation day, or the day that you landed your first really good job. In our modern context, we call these mountaintop experiences. They're energizing. And they thrill us. If we could make that moment last forever, we would do whatever it takes to help it to drag out. As we read through the scriptures, there are a lot of mountaintop experiences. On these mountains, there are many times when God reveals himself, reveals his glory to someone else. Now, when you and I see these accounts of God revealing his glory, we think, wow, that'd be pretty terrific. It'd be great to be there. But the truth is, in these meetings, the engagements were anything but thrilling. They were terrifying. As God spoke to Moses from the burning bush at Mount Horeb, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And later on, you might remember Moses on top of Mount Sinai. God passed before Moses, except he shielded Moses' eyes until he had passed, so Moses could see the glory of God's backside. Well, the people, when Moses came down from the mountain, they saw Moses' face shining brightly, and they were afraid. The reflection of God's glory reflecting off of Moses' face was too much for them to stand. And in a cave on top of Mount Horeb, God came to another prophet, one who was emotionally depressed, by the name of Elijah. God came to him in a whisper. And in his fear and shame, Elijah wrapped his cloak around his face. And he would not look at God. The Transfiguration mountaintop is quite a different experience. In our gospel text, Jesus' earthly ministry is drawing to a close. Peter had just finished confessing that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus had told his disciples that he must suffer, die, and would raise again on the third day. And Jesus also told his disciples the cost of discipleship, saying, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And then, right before Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them high upon a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Only to these three disciples, Jesus gives that brief glimpse of heavenly divine glory. He reveals to them that he is not just another man, although he is fully man, but he reveals that he is also the divine God. And then suddenly, they're among them, Moses and Elijah. They were there talking with Jesus. St. Luke's gospel tells us that they appeared in glory and spoke of Jesus' departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Moses, representing the law, Elijah, representing the prophets, the two greatest prophets of the Old Testament, who once dared not to look God in the face, were there casually meeting with Jesus, talking about what he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. They're standing toe to toe. There's no fear or trepidation because they had just left the glory of heaven. They have already experienced divine glory. And on this day, they had left the glory of heaven and brought the reflection of that heavenly glory to earth. Their conversation about Jerusalem. Jesus there would accomplish what Moses and Elijah had foretold along with the other prophets. That Jesus would offer his life as a sacrifice for the sinners of the world, delivering sinners such as you and me from our sins, the wages of our sins, and freeing us from eternal damnation. It was a mountaintop experience for the disciples. And while they were terrified, like you and me, Peter wanted to hold on to that moment and make it last as long as he could. We do like to hang on to the good times. This year I haven't typically watched too much football, but this past Sunday after the Super Bowl, there was a team who was trying to hold on to every bit of the euphoria of winning a game. They wanted to bask in the glory, and why not? It was a mountaintop experience. You could say that they had fought the good fight. They had won the race, so to speak. But in this life, as you know, not everyone wins the big game. Not everyone even makes it to the playoffs, and truth be told, many of us never even make the team. You see, earthly mountaintop experiences are rare. And when they do come around, they are but a fleeting moment. And then it's back to suffering in this sinful world. It'll only be a few months, and all those football players will be back in the weight room, suffering from the aches and pains of training, preparing for next season. And for you and I, if we do have that euphoric moment, it's not going to last. Right away, it's back to living in a broken and sinful world. It brings us back to reality. And that's what happened to Peter, James, and John. Jesus gave them that short, quick glimpse of heaven. They received a sight of God's glory. But then they went back down the mountain, back to reality, to suffering and temptation in a sinful world. Each of those three disciples would experience the cost of discipleship, the price of following Jesus. Historians tell us that Peter was eventually crucified upside down. And Scripture says that James was killed by the sword of King Herod. And tradition holds that John died in exile on the island of Patmos. Following Jesus' transfiguration, he set his face toward a different hilltop, a place where he would be betrayed, suffer, and die for the sins of all mankind. But it is worth noting here that Jesus' earthly ministry ends quite similarly to the way it began. You remember when it began, it was at the River Jordan. Jesus was baptized, and the dove descended from heaven and landed upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And in our text, it's almost 3 years later, and before Peter could put down stakes to savor the moment, a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." From cradle to grave, Jesus Christ was true man, or is true man, and he is true God. The whole time as true man, hidden, covered by skin and flesh of man, was his glory. St. Paul writes, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God to be a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death upon the cross. Jesus left heaven to do the Father's will, and the Father was well pleased. And as his earthly ministry drew short, the Father distinctly calls attention to Jesus' word, saying, listen to him. You see, Moses and Elijah, they were merely his spokesmen, along with all the other prophets. But Jesus is the fulfillment of all the law and all of the prophets. Christ alone has the word of eternal life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one's going to come to the Father except through him. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, as we leave the Epiphany season and enter into Lent. For 40 days, we'll follow Jesus as he reaches his greatest mountaintop experience atop Mount Calvary. Excuse me. For the casual observer, Mount Calvary looks anything from a mountaintop euphoric experience. It certainly doesn't look like a victory. But it is there that Jesus carried all of your sufferings and all of your pains, all of your aches and your shortcomings, your sins and your sorrows, and he put them to death. It is finished. You have his word on it. Listen to him. He remained silent as he was raised high upon the cross, while his glory was still hidden under his skin, beneath that beaten and bruised frame. And as his dead body was pierced with a spear, water and blood flowed from Christ's side, pointing us to baptism and the Lord's Supper, giving you life, salvation, and forgiveness. You have Jesus' word on it. Listen to him. After his three-day rest in the tomb, Christ's body did not see decay, and he was raised from the dead, the first fruits of all those who have fallen asleep. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Yes, you and I may not have a grand mountaintop experience on this side of heaven, but we patiently wait and listen to Jesus. Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah in their glory. Their bodies had not decayed either during their time spent in heaven. And that's how it will be for all who die in Christ Jesus. Your perishable bodies will be raised imperishable and taken to live with Christ in his eternal glory. So until then, we take comfort. We listen to Jesus, his words that he gave us on another mountaintop right before he ascended into heaven. He says, behold, I am always with you to the very end of the age. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.